you would. All right, Psalm 137. We're going to look at this passage this morning. This is obviously Thanksgiving season. And every year I try to preach on Thanksgiving. It's actually, I've said many times, my favorite time of the year. I have concluded that it's not most people's favorite time of the year. For whatever reason, some people find Thanksgiving very difficult. So I trust this morning this will be a help to you, and it will be a very different message. I think you'll understand as we begin. Let's stand, please. Psalm 137. There is a note in the bulletin for all of you that do these sorts of things, and if you don't do these sorts of things, it would be appropriate. Paula Fain, which is Bianca's mother, and, of course, Dad is right beside Bianca, and son, right? She died a week and a half ago or so, and it would be appropriate for some of you maybe to write a letter. The address is in the bulletin, and share your sorrows, because she lost her mother. I think, as I said in Sunday school, some of us, our first name ought to be Jonah, because the only thing we ever experience is our own pain. Well, we have people suffering this morning. Now, Bianca, this is not to you this morning, but this whole message will be for you and your family, even though I didn't know you would be here. I'm going to ask a very difficult question, and probably not a normal Thanksgiving sermon, but it should be. Psalm 137 and verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon. Babylon is modern-day Iraq. The rivers of Babylon are the Tigris in the north and the Euphrates in the south. If you've looked at a map, they come together, they have back and forth as they move towards the Gulf. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yes, we wept. When we remembered Zion. This is the last of the Psalms in the book of Psalm. It is the latest dated one. It is after the destruction of Jerusalem, and after the destruction of Solomon's temple, and after the carrying away into captivity of God's people into Babylon for 70 years. So this immediately addresses life. Verse 2, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they carried us away captive. They that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, or extreme joy. The same word is found later. Saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. You probably wouldn't know this, but the largest collection of hymns in the ancient world is in the book you're holding in your hand. There's 150 of them. And they said, why don't you sing us one of those songs you used to sing in Jerusalem? The key verse in the whole text is verse 4. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange or a foreign land? Everything in this chapter revolves around that verse. They're asking themselves a question. How can we sing the Lord's song in our present circumstances? How is this possible? The title this morning is How Shall We Sing, but it's really that verse. Verse 5 starts to answer the question, as oftentimes you have in the Psalms. Folks, look up here. You can look at it in different ways. You can look at it as you have verses and then you have the middle verse, or you can look at it as an apex. Verse 4 is the center. Everything comes to that, and then the answer follows. The psalmist says, and the people which would sing this said, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her abilities, her cunning, everything that I have. If I can somehow forget, and Jerusalem here is used for the place of their home, though it's destroyed. It's used in reference to all of God's goodness, and it's used really in reference to God himself. Verse 6. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. The previous word for mirth and the word for joy is the same word here. And then, of course, we have verse 7, 8, and 9, which I am not only going to touch on. If you want to know, you can ask. Frenchie would be the first person to talk to, because we spent 45 minutes in Sunday school intentionally talking about these three verses. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy or blessed shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. I'm going to primarily speak on verse 4, 5, and 6, and we'll tie this whole section together, and I'm going to speak on how shall we sing. And maybe in our circumstances, Thanksgiving, how do you give thanks? Because our problem is, in this room, some of us never give thanks. I don't know why. I'm not going to speak to you. If you're not a thankful person, this sermon 100% is not for you. I'm not going to try to convince anybody to be thankful. I'm really going to address a problem. How in the world do you give thanks? Because in this room, and in people I have dealt with this week, one lady that used to be part of this church lost her dad and her mother in 6 months. A lady that sits over here lost her mother. Paula and her brothers lost their mother. How in the world does a pastor get up and say, you need to learn to give thanks during these kinds of times? So let's put aside all of our trivia this morning and let us ask ourselves a real question. How do we sing and give thanks at a time like this? Our Father, I thank you for this text. It encourages me. It probably comes to the heart of what this is all about. It's pretty easy not to give thanks when everything is going well. We're reminded of how difficult it is when we have the sorrows of life, which we all have. Lord, if I know one thing, if we live long enough, we all have lots of sorrow. May this morning you speak through your word and encourage and help us, I ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I lose track of what day it was, but it was, I think, Wednesday. It might have been Thursday. Probably was Wednesday. Jan would know for sure. When I went to Bible class at 10 o'clock, I received a phone call in the office. But before that, I received a phone call on my phone, and I don't usually receive them during the day much, so I left my phone in my coat, and I had the ringer on. The kids love it when my phone goes off. And it went, you know, loud ringing. I picked it up to look at it, and I saw who was calling. Pastor Chuck Ells was calling. I wasn't going to interrupt my class for anybody unless I knew it was an emergency. It had to be my wife, my son, my mother, my daughter, and that's about it. But I knew something wasn't good because Chuck Ells and I talk regularly, but he never calls me. I call him, unless something bad has happened. When I got out of class, I had to go someplace, so I think this might have been Thursday, but it could have been Wednesday. I just can't remember the dates. Whatever happened, I got in my car and drove where I was going. I think it was actually Wednesday, because I met Jamie, I think. But I got in my car, and I called Chuck, and I knew something was wrong, and when he got on the phone, I could tell he was flustered. And he says, Ralph, I have a situation, and I need some help. I need some counsel. It's like, oh, brother, when another pastor calls you, you know things aren't good. I didn't know what was going on. He said, well, I had a young man in our church, 16 or 17. The young man had gotten in trouble. I'm not going to tell you what kind of trouble. Serious trouble. But not life-ending trouble. Just serious trouble. Frankly, I'll just add one layer. Something that would bring great shame on the young boy. The mother had found out what the young boy had done and had confronted him. and said, when your dad gets home from work, I'm going to tell him, and the two of us are going to talk to you. By the way, these are good Christian folks in Chuck's church. I believe Chuck said they're one of the leaders in his church. So that was the story. The mother talked to the son. The son went upstairs. Dad came home. The dad learned about what the son had done. And the dad actually went into his bedroom and was praying about how to talk to his son when they heard the gun go off. The dad never got to talk to the son. The shame of what the son had done, he took his own life in his own bedroom. Now, I don't tell you that story for shock value. I tell you that story because I have too many people in this room that cannot stop thinking about your food and entertainment. When we talk about Thanksgiving, first thought was when Chuck told me this, just what you did, it's like, oh my goodness. Dad is downstairs, the son is upstairs. Why didn't the son at least let the dad talk to him? It was not that kind of an issue. It was something that could have been fixed. And now, this family that has 8 children, by God's grace, there's 3 or 4 older children that are doing great and a couple younger children doing great. This was a fine young boy. He just did something he shouldn't have done that could have been fixed. I thought to myself, boy, Chuck has to preach that funeral on Tuesday this week. And he has to preach on Thanksgiving today and next Sunday. And what in the world is he going to say at a church service to say, boy, well, praise the Lord, everything's great. I used to hear that in this church in the 70s. There's nothing to praise God about. So what do you do? How do you deal with this? And honestly, immediately this text came to my mind. If you look back in your Bibles, please, to verse 4. We're going to start with the pain. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land, in a foreign country? How shall we do this? And I'm going to say 4 basic, straightforward ideas. Number 1, there are always reasons for not giving thanks. It's important that you realize in our lives, there are always reasons for not being thankful. Always. Now, maybe you have nothing going wrong right now, but I, as a pastor, stand in a different relationship, and I know and I can look at people's lives, and I know there are plenty of reasons in this room to say, I'm not even coming to this Thanksgiving meal. By the way, we'll have a third of the congregation that at least won't even be here. Some of them are ungrateful people, and they're always ungrateful, and they've always been ungrateful. And so they're not coming because they have nothing to rejoice about. But my friend, if you're serious with yourself, there are always reasons for not giving thanks. This happened in 586 BC. The Babylonians surrounded the city of Jerusalem. They eventually broke through the walls. The loss of the city was total and complete. The country was conquered. They burned the city of Jerusalem to the ground. They destroyed Solomon's temple, considered one of the great wonders of the ancient world. They took the king, and I'm assuming you know this. They took the king. The king decided to flee during the middle of the night. Do you remember what happened? When the king took off in the middle of the night, hoping to get away, they caught the king. They brought the king before the leaders of Babylon, Babylonian army. They then brought the king's children right in front of him. They murdered his children and then put out his eyes, so the last thing he saw was his children being murdered in front of him. Now they took those people and carried them away into modern-day Iraq from where Israel is. And now they're there and it's like, how in the world are we going to sing songs and praise to God? My friend, I say again, there are always reasons for not giving thanks. If you tend to be negative, you can think of more reasons not to give thanks than you can to give thanks. That's part of human nature. And if you live long enough, you'll have plenty of reasons. If you live long enough, you'll lose both of your parents. Yes or no? Some of you might lose children. Their army had been defeated. The temple had been ransacked and then destroyed. Their houses had been burned. Their women, and I'm going to use King James English to keep it clean, had been ravished. The remnant had been carried away captive into Babylon as slaves. And now in verse 4, the people are crying because there are always reasons not to give thanks and not to sing. Always. They're now in a strange land or a foreign, alien country. The sounds are different. The sights are different. The smells are different. The customs are different. The language is different. The land itself is different. And in the back of their mind, every single person that survived this devastating assault on the nation of Israel and the conquering of all the surrounding country and finally the fall of the capital city, they all know they're going to be in Babylon for 70 years. And unless your math is bad, and you're 50 years old, and they've dragged you away to Babylon, unless your math is bad, you know something. 50 plus 70, I'm never living to go back to where I'm from. I'll never in this lifetime see my homeland. There are always reasons for not giving thanks. Now, we come now to the second idea. Look at verse 1 with me, please. By the rivers of what? By the way, friend, every great civilization, Pachungai can tell you this after church, every great civilization has one thing in common. It grew up around a river system. The greatest ancient historical civilizations, in China, the Yangtze River, in India, the Indus River Valley, in Babylon, the Tigris and the Euphrates, in Egypt, the Nile River, there's got to be lots of water for crops, for civilization to flourish. Your great civilizations developed. Guess where they are? They pulled them out of Judah in this little country, and they've taken them to those rivers, the Tigris, the Euphrates, and all the canals in between, and all of the irrigation areas. They say, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we did what? We wept. When we did what? The moment we remembered where we came from. I have said this so far. There are always reasons for not giving thanks. Number two, there might even be pain in giving thanks. The moment you start remembering, the pain comes on. Because the very nature of this is now we're in this country, by the rivers, we're no longer home. And the very concept of someone saying, sing to us, causes pain. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion, when we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth or joy, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. There are always reasons not to give thanks. There might even be pain in giving thanks. Many things contribute to the pain. They're kind of an accumulative thing. We're layer upon layer, layers upon. For these folks, they were now on a land of plenty, thinking about their homeland being destroyed. They're now by the green of irrigated Iraq, Babylon at that time, thinking about the destruction of their homeland. They're now among people mocking them and thinking of the Psalms that it's just impossible for them to sing. A little over a month ago, I was preparing to go to the Philippines to teach, as I do every year. Preparation, I was ready. I was ready to go. I had everything organized. But two things weighed heavily on my heart. Number one, Sister Lourdes, I knew your mother was not doing well. And you know, Lourdes, I could not bring myself to pray and say, Lord, take Lourdes' mother before I go. I don't know if I could pray that. But I wanted so much to be here for your mother's funeral. But then I thought, well, you know, Dada knows your mom as well as I do, so Pastor Hippolito could do the funeral as well as I could. I could wrestle with that in my mind, but I knew I was going there, and I knew you would be suffering here. But there was another problem. Didn't affect a person in this room. One of the people that built the building you're seated in this morning, Ed Heiner. Not long before I left for the Philippines, I found out Mr. Heiner was sick with cancer and dying. Now, Mr. Heiner hadn't been part of this church since I've been here and even way before that. Melody Heiner lives in another state. But see here, I have to tell you this, see, because some of you, your life is just so miserable. My wife and I had done the funeral for Melody Heiner's mother in May. In May. Did you hear me? Here we are in October, and I find out Mr. Heiner is in Rolling Meadows dying of cancer. And I'm going to the Philippines, and I have a problem. The problem is, I love Tim Kowak, but Tim Kowak did not know Ed Heiner at all, except maybe in passing. Noel didn't know Ed Heiner. You would not have known him if he had bit you. So I don't have a single pastor to do Ed Heiner's funeral. And I'm going to the Philippines. Who would do it? Unbelievably, Ed Heiner survived when I was in the Philippines. So this week when I come back, by the way, are you all listening? See, I think some of us think, I'm going to get to this place. You know, next year, I'm going to climb the mountain. I'm going to be living up here in victory. Woo! And I'll be able to shout hallelujah. That doesn't exist. There is no Thanksgiving here because here doesn't exist on earth. By the way, there's coming a day when there'll be no more sorrow. But until that day, there's going to be plenty of sorrow. And just because you're not sorrowing doesn't mean other people aren't. So I had to look at Melody. I don't know how old Melody is. Jenny, do you know? She's a little younger than me, 55, 56, 54, something like that. And I had to look at her and think, on Thursday I did Mr. Heiner's funeral. I've done both of her parents' funeral in 6 months. She is now the only person left in her family. And Thanksgiving is this week. Yes, sometimes the very thought of Thanksgiving brings us pain. Lots of it. So my heart, when I left for the Philippines, went out for my sister Lourdes because I love her and Dave and the kids. And I thought, oh my goodness. But I know Noel can do a good job. By God's grace, I got to come back. Mr. Heiner died last Saturday night. Very quickly, and survived till I got here. Yes, I got to do the funeral, but I had to look at a lady that I've known since she was in high school here and think to myself, she has no mom, she has no dad, and now it's Thanksgiving. And no doubt, some sensitive saint in this church will walk up to someone like her and say, I'm so happy that you've gotten over it. That you're not crying. Like several people have said to Bambi in this room. By the way, folks, when you come here Tuesday night, we're going to have a time of Thanksgiving. But for me, the distance between Thanksgiving and the distance between tears aren't very far. Those are pretty closely connected to me. So I'm going to rejoice in many good things, but at the same time, I'm going to remember some things that caused me tears. I don't think you can ever escape this. We are to weep with those who weep. We are to rejoice with those who rejoice. So as a body in Christ, we come here Tuesday night to remember God's goodness, but we're also going to remember God's goodness in bringing us through some things and maybe taking our loved ones on to heaven and maybe allowing us to you know, even though we miss somebody, to still love them. It's not as simple as I'm going to climb this hill and I'm going to be living in the victory, victory, victory. Woo! No. Down here in this world, We live with a combination of all of these things all the time. Well, we now have to look at the third concept. I have said there are always reasons for not giving thanks. I have said also from this text, the very idea of giving thanks might cause pain. There might even be pain in giving thanks. Now, if you would look to verse 4, 5, and 6 with me, please. 4, 5, and 6. The middle of the chapter, the middle of all the thinking is verse 4. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How in the world do you get to the place where you can rejoice, not in some other place, but right here? And I think verse 5 and 6 give us the very simple facts. He says, the author, the Holy Spirit, we say, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem. So the very nature of really being thankful is not forgetting. He says, let my right hand forget her cunning. And if I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief, our first, our highest joy. Number three, there are also ways, means, or techniques for giving thanks. He gives you the ways we can give thanks even in a strange foreign country. Even in the midst of sorrow, there are ways, there are means, there are techniques for giving thanks. I'm going to do this. Look at me. I do not believe, look up here, I do not believe thankful people are special. I think thankful people learn to do some things that unthankful people don't. And what they learn to do, I'm going to wait till you're awake. I know this is boring, isn't it? People losing their mother wouldn't want to keep you awake. It all starts with remembering, or the negative, not forgetting. And maybe more important than all of those, if you look with me in verse 7, there's something very interesting in this text. It's not forgetting, it's remembering, and it's something else. He says, if I, there's three ifs in the text. I think you saw that. Verse 5 begins with the word if. So, you know, you cannot forget. Verse 6 begins with the word if I do not remember. So it's not forgetting, it's remembering. And then in the middle of verse 6 it says, if I prefer. The word prefer has the idea of valuing something. You make a conscious choice what you're going to remember, how you're going to remember, what you're going to do with that. He says, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my... Most everybody in this room knows the Hebrew word for chief. It's the word Rosh, like in Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year. That word chief means your top joy, your summit of your life, your first joy, the height of everything. So it has something to do, as we move forward in life, with evaluating or valuing things in a certain way and not forgetting but remembering them in a certain way. She's not here this morning. She told me she wasn't going to be here, Bambi. Yes, people in this room have told her, I'm glad you're done crying. Yeah. But see, I'm going to do something different than some of you. I'm not going to avoid Levi. Hello? I'm not going to stop remembering Levi. I think the exact wrong thing to do is to act like this nothing ever happened, and the right thing to do is learn to think of Levi. I can still see Levi sitting right back there. And if I said something to him, he would shake his head, he'd look down, he would smile. I can still remember, by the way, do you? Do you even know who Levi was? I can still remember walking back and he'd have that peach fuzz. It kind of looked like a fungus that didn't grow very well. And I would give him a hard time about his fungus. And he would always, old Pastor Warren. I can also remember him, where'd Daniel go? Right here. He was taller than Daniel. You're about 6 feet. Well, Levi was 6'4", and when he got to be 6'4", he was so happy he was taller than me. He always loved to hug me like you do, but you know why? Not because he wanted to hug me, because he wanted to show me I'd have to do this to him. The secret of giving thanks, folks, is not having a perfect life. The secret of giving thanks is I'm not going to stop remembering people and events. I'm going to hold on to my memories of Levi. Yes, he's gone. Of course he's gone. He's with the Lord. He's not having a rough time. Does that mean you cry? Yeah, I can have tears and be thankful at the same time. All of this stuff mixes together. It isn't, I've got to get to the place where my life is happy, 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 and then I will be happy. That's stupid. Life has always got all these things going on. I look around this room and there's people that I immediately remember and I refuse to forget. Mr. Losey's not here this year. Mr. Losey was one of my favorite people in many reasons. All you got to do is just open your eyes and you see something he has done every place you look. I was out in the parking lot and somebody who, I don't know who I was even talking to, and they said, oh, that's a nice that's a nice playground stuff, and I wonder who built it. Then you look right beyond the playground, and then there's the pavilion, and then you look at the John Deere tractor, and then someday you ought to walk through the classrooms and wonder how all of those woodworking in all the classrooms just magically dropped out of the sky. You say, but Mr. Losey's gone. By the way, tears and thanksgiving are not opposite. I'm going to remember, I couldn't remember the things he's done. He's done too many things. But of the things that I remember, it brings a smile to my face. But actually, Mr. Losey brings other smiles to my face. Tim and I, Pastor Kowak and I, used to take him out to eat. There was a long time, we tried to take him out every month at least, sometimes twice a month. Part of it was after Mrs. Losey died, did you know what he ate? Cheryl, is this true? You did not want to know what he ate. So we would take him out to a place like a, he loved Chinese food. So we'd go to a Chinese buffet. And I would laugh half the time because, do you know Mr. Losey drank mixed drinks? He would go and get like this much Mountain Dew, this much mug root beer, and this much tea. And he'd bring that back smiling, saying, I had a mixed drink. You see, folks, the Bible here isn't claiming, well, you're going to be happy when you have everything new and a new car and everything is wonderful. No, happiness and thanksgiving comes by simply not forgetting. It comes by remembering. And then it comes by saying, I'm going to value this. The text says, the King James says, if I prefer not. But preferring has that idea of evaluating and valuing something. So you lift that up. Yes, I can remember that Mr. Losey's not here. But I'm going to remember those many other good things. His mixed drinks. And Mr. Losey, I don't know why he should not, but he liked rice. And he would even eat rice at these Chinese places. And I remember that. I look around this room this morning. I can get down. I can still remember Sam Labasi. Now, some of you don't ever want to think about anybody after they're gone because that makes you so sad. Do you not understand that sadness and happiness are somehow connected? And it's all according to how you think and how you remember and how you put value on things? So when I think about Sam, I can think about him being in heaven, but I don't think about him dying. I flew back from the Philippines to do his funeral, but I think about the funny stuff. When he would come to church and I would look at his pants and I'm like, where did you get those pants? And it was like, I'm colorblind, but they were blinding to me. It was like, where did you get those things at? And then he would wear things around. I don't even know what all these things around. They went from here to here. He was wearing all kinds of somethings. And then he would come here with hair, and Lord only knows what he would do with his hair. And I still remember his favorite statement to me. Of course, I called him Samwise Ganji. My favorite statement to him, I was picking on him about whatever he was dressing. And he said to me, he says, Pastor, well, you have fashion sense too. Boring. They see, you got to realize, folks, you choose what you think about. You say, how am I supposed to sing the Lord's song? I have problems. Who doesn't? Who doesn't have difficulties? Who hasn't suffered loss? My friend Mike Hall lost his mom a year and a half ago. Something like that. Lost his dad. I remember when his dad died. This was a long time ago. I've lost my father. I mean, come on, folks. Everybody's had suffering. What are you remembering? Look at the verse again. Maybe practice what it's saying. In verse 4, he asked the apex of the psalm is here. How shall we do this? How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And then he has three ifs. Well, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, you know, then let my right hand forget. And it kind of leaves it empty, meaning let all of my abilities disappear. Verse 6, if I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem, meaning I evaluate this and put value on this, that is even higher than my most exciting favorite thing. My goodness, friends, tears and thanksgiving go together. They're not separate things. To think back, I can think back about where Gail is sitting right now. Mr. Smith used to sit right there. Now, Mr. Smith had a voice of Mike Rock. Mike? I'm always happy that Mike sings back there. You say, why? He can knock out four rows of people and get them off tune. I would watch Mr. Smith, and Mr. Smith couldn't sing on tune and couldn't hear that he was singing on tune. And he'd be singing, and it just made me happy. My friend, life isn't getting to some place where I don't have problems and everything is happy, happy, happy. If you would drop all the nonsense about victory and live in the real world, and in the real world where you have to say, I'm not going to forget these things, and on the other hand, I'm going to remember these things, and I'm going to put value and evaluate things where, yeah, this is my favorite activity, but I've learned to put this even higher because this is what makes life make sense. My goodness, all I got to do, if I get a little discouraged, I can just think of names. Pete and Sharon. Pete called me this week. Now, forgive me, folks. Forgive me. Some of you are more spiritual than me. If I want humor, all I need is about 25 minutes of one program. Now, I realize women are going to hate me, but all I need is about 25 minutes of the Stooges. And I am instantly happy. I mean, you say, I've had people say, I don't get the Stooges. That's your problem. There's nothing to get. Pete called me and he said, I got a new poster. He sent it on, he texted it to me. And guess what? It was the Three Stooges. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I get it. I think of Pete and Sharon. They're in another state now. I think of Arnell and Lenny De Leon, Tony and Rachel Cardenas, Jerry and Kathy, Chuck and Shelley, Romeo and Rose. My friend, I just think life is not about, I'm going to someday be a happy place. No, a happy place is not a place. It's a way you think. It's a way you remember. It's a way you evaluate things. It's the three ifs. And if you start putting the three ifs into practice, all of a sudden it lifts you up out of yourself. And even though you have the tears, mixed with the tears is the joy. They fit together, I do believe. Turn your Bibles. Hold your hand here because we're going to come back here. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 73, would you please, quickly? Psalm 73 and verse 21. Psalm 73, 21 says this. And by the way, when it talks about Jerusalem, it's really talking about more than just Jerusalem. It's all that Jerusalem stands for. The Lord himself, the God's goodness, God's grace, God's salvation. Psalm 73 is one of the great psalms, but in verse 21, he kind of comes to some conclusions. He says, Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins, meaning in his will. He says, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Then he comes to this great conclusion. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. But it is good for me to draw nigh to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, and I will declare all thy works. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Everyone look at me. I never do this. I have another point. We're not covering it. Look, hey, we're going to stop right here. This is where we're going to stop. Yes, there are reasons for not giving thanks. Who doesn't have them? I would be curious to know. Yes, there might also be pain in giving thanks, because I find oftentimes we're more thankful after we lose something than when we have it. But my friend, if you can come to the place where you realize there are ways or means that you cannot forget something, and on the other hand, you can remember something, and you can bring those two together, and then you can start giving value, preferring this, then all of a sudden, yes, I've lost this person. Yes, I have lost this. Yes, I don't have this. Yes, I'll never be able to do this. But through all of this, you and I can give thanks, not because life is perfect. Look at me. Nobody's life is perfect. Nobody. If I spent 30 minutes this morning, I could tell you lots of stuff I'm not happy about in my own life. But I got news for you. There's a lot. Look, because I choose to not forget. I choose to remember. And I choose to give value to certain things that lift me above all of the pain. Here's my question. Will you join me? Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning.